from canstar.com.au.
Okay, welcome along to the breakfast show, and had a few things going on this morning, but I managed to just get him sorted out because I know he's a busy man, and he's got an appointment in a couple of times. Leader of the opposition here in Queensland, LNP's David Crisafulli. David, welcome to Cairns.
Always good to be back, Murray. But I'm not sure about this overcast business. This is not what we want in the middle of the year.
At least it's warm, though. At least you're not really freezing cold. So we'll talk about the positives there. Now, look, I'm doing things on the run this morning, but I do see an announcement has just come out this morning that ScoMo has managed to do a deal and to triple the supplies of Pfizer, which is just so important. You know, I think the bottom line is we just need to get as many vaccinations across the line, AstraZeneca or Pfizer. It's the key to, I guess, getting away from these lockdowns. Can we focus on lockdowns? And I guess the reason why you're here, as we well know, even in Sydney, with the lockdowns in Sydney, it reverberates around the country in so many ways. We've had the lockdowns here in Brisbane just recently as well. But let's talk about the package that you're putting together to assist small businesses, something that is really essential, particularly in a region like Cairns.
They're the heart and soul of every city, Murray, and we are the only state that doesn't have a package for small and family businesses when they go into lockdown. And I've put forward some suggestions, and I'm not saying that they're the only solutions. I'm sure there'll be other things that get put forward, and I'd be willing to back them. But we can't just be the only state that doesn't do something for the people who are the engine room of every economy. And when these decisions are made, when the lockdown decisions are made and they're taken for the health reasons, you can't ask the same group of people to keep dipping their pocket time and time again. And that is the small and family business owners and their staff that rely on them. You can't keep asking them to carry the can. Government's got to help as well. And that's what my push has been in the last couple of weeks.
Now, look, a multi-pronged approach, and we won't go into all the details, but certainly some of the two key features that I'm interested in fleshing out a bit further. Lump lockdown payments, and as we've just suggested, for so many people, depending on the type of business you are, you may have the lockdowns in Brisbane, but it has a real impact, and the cost is often borne by a small percentage of the population, particularly people that are in small business. Talk to me a little bit more about what these lump lockdown payments and how they would work.
Well, it's about having a small portion of those costs for a small and family business met in the event of a lockdown. So that could mean your perishables. So it could be your fruit and veggie if you own a restaurant or a coffee shop, or it could be your flowers if you're a florist. Now, what this is about is saying, well, we've got your back. We want you to keep on trading. We want you to keep doing all you can. And there is a very small safety net to make that worthwhile. I had it put to me beautifully by a small business owner only a week or so ago. He said, the worst thing that you can have in small business is to have to throw away stock. The second worst thing is to be too scared to order it and then to miss out on the opportunity to make a few bob and sure, create some jobs by not doing that. So this is about saying, well, here's a little bit of a safety net for you. I'm talking about the same thing with events. Now, I'd like people who are considering having an event to say, we're going to bring it to Cairns because the government is prepared to underwrite a very small portion of our fixed cost, but that's the safety blanket I need. So it becomes an economic stimulus as much as it is a safety net for the individual business and their staff. That's what good government looks like. Now, I said for the 100th time to the government, I'm not going to play politics and say, oh, you know, you didn't adopt X, Y, or Z. I'm sure there are better ideas out there. I'm sure there are other people with equally safety nets that operate differently. I've seen it in different states. But we can't be the only state that doesn't have one. That's just farcical. And I'm going to keep banging on about this until eventually they come to the table, because you've got many business owners who are telling me, we're just not going to be able to get up and do it again if we go into lockdown. We'll just throw the towel in. We'll give the keys back. We just can't go through another one without some form of safety net. And that's what I'm trying to get to.
And certainly that second prong, you know, I've seen it quite a few times. I've given away double passes to particular shows, events that are happening in tropical North Queensland, only to find a few days beforehand, maybe because somebody was coming from Sydney for this particular event, you know, the main performer, and they've had to be cancelled. And often these are small businesses that are actually behind some of these events. So I think that certainly has been a real impact. And I think sometimes people forget about that as well. I know you've got to go, but look, just before we wrap up this morning, just want to touch on nothing's changed with respect to the threat of the in danger of the Great Barrier Reef as likely to be passed by UNESCO. I am a strong supporter of Warren Entsch, the special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef in quite a few ways. But look, I don't agree with this principle that we're going to invite UNESCO members here to Australia and send them out to the reef. It's a big system. They don't make an individual decision based on their own opinion. They make a decision based on the science. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm not going into that. But moving forward, if we do end up with a situation where the reef is deemed to be in danger, what's the position from the LNP with respect to that matter?
The whole debate about the reef, Murray, has been weaponised by both sides of the argument. You've had one side say that it's diabolical, it's on its knees, it's not going to bounce back, and, you know, woe is me. You've had another side who says there's nothing wrong with it and, you know, there's nothing we can do better. I disagree with both. I think there is more we can do, but I think it's far from being diabolical that many people espouse. And what I want is I want the eyes of the world to look at it and say, this is an amazing asset. It underpins so much of what makes us unique and different. These are the steps we're taking towards making it better, making it more sustainable. Have a look at our progression. Have a look at where we're heading in the future. That's the sort of balance I want to find. Now, that mightn't make headlines with some people, but to me, that's the truth. And I think that's the sensible way. And I'm not going to allow either side of the debate to continue to weaponise it, continue to try and do it for political purposes, both ways. There's been enough of that. My view is let's call it for what it is, a magnificent, beautiful asset we should be damn proud of, but one that we have to continue to do a little bit more to protect every year, just get a little bit better, a little bit better, and we'll get through it.
If I may say so, I certainly appreciate your moderate and a very objective approach to such a matter. Actually, we won't go into the member details. Let's go Leader of the Opposition, David Crisafulli. Welcome to Cairns and thank you so much for your time this morning. Cheers.
Appreciate you having me, Murray. Thank you.
You're not the same as...